Welcome to Embracing Continuous Behaviour Change for Anger Management, the podcast that helps you to calm your emotions and communicate effectively. I'm your host, Claire Broadley, the Anger Management Coach. In this podcast, I'll bring you expert interviews, inspiring stories, and practical advice on calming your emotions and living a more peaceful and fulfilling life. So sit back, relax, and get ready to master your emotions. So good evening here in the UK, and if there's any of our US cousins, are we cousins? I don't know, we are today, let's put it that way. Yeah. We have Tamika Jones joining us from the US. Whereabouts are you, Tamika?
I am currently in San Antonio, Texas, 4 hours from Dallas and around 2.5 hours from Houston, Texas.
Wow. And I believe it's very hot around Dallas area.
It's very hot. Yes, it is humid hot. And also I was told that it takes a day to drive from one side of Texas to the other side of Texas.
Really?
That's how huge Texas is. Yes.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so very much for joining us today. I like our podcasts to be with real people who just give us an insight to how they have overcome things in life, where they've been, where they've got to, so that our listeners can just learn and see that life is not what we always see or what we always think it is, because we just live in our own little world, don't we?
Yes.
So thank you so very much for joining me. Could you give our listeners just a very quick roundup of who you are, etc., and then we'll go in deep dive into some questions?
I am Tamika Jones. And I'll give you Tamika Jones without all the accolades and titles. So I am bold. I am beautiful. I am strong. I am decisive. I am a healthy boundary setter. I am ambitious. Did I say I'm beautiful? I'm beautiful. All the things. But yes, I'm Tamika Jones. Like I said, transformational life coach and prior military. I've served 23 years in the Air Force, recently retired. I am a single parent, single mother of a 7-year-old, Skye. She's my world. And I'm here just like you, just every day living life and doing things.
Fantastic. I loved that introduction because, and unfortunately the listeners can't see it, but as you said all of those things, I am beautiful, I am brave, I am bold, your face lit up saying it. And I thought that is actually doing you the world of good to say all of those things. So if we all did it, we'd all feel as amazing as you just looked then.
Yes. Yes, we have to say it and we have to feel it and embrace it because we are all of those things. And sometimes we get carried away by the titles and the accolades. You know, I'm a nurse. Mm-hmm. I'm a life coach. I'm, all these things that society say who we are. But to the core, who are we really, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess as we grow up, we're told we're a lot of things. And sometimes those things that we're told are not always favorable, they're not always positive. Yes. And we can carry that around with us, and we do carry that around with us for years. So to be able to have those statements of who we are is fantastic.
Yes.
Because it's so hard at times to believe them.
And Claire, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wouldn't have been able to say what I just said years ago because, like you said, labels and titles and things that you experienced in childhood or even young adulthood kind of carries over with you if you don't do the healing and the self-love healing and the soul searching. Because years I thought I wasn't beautiful. Years I was told that I would be nothing I will be just like my mom, you know, a drug addict. I will be, you know, all these things that you know, was hurtful. I was told these things. So you're right. It's up to us to believe that and live in that day by day, or to change the narrative, you know, yeah.
To challenge it.
Yeah.
So tell us then about your growing up as a, you know, in your younger days, and how that affected your outlook on life as you grew up.
So growing up, my mom was a single mom raising three kids, and, you know, we didn't have much, but one thing we did have was each other. And like I kind of said before, my mom was on alcohol, then resorted to drugs, and she struggled all her life with just setting boundaries and knowing her purpose and her understanding her worth and value, right?
Yeah.
So she did the best she could with the resources and the knowledge and the mental, you know, she had at the time, mental ability or mental capacity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just grew up in a home that wasn't as healthy. But like I said, we had each other. And like I said, one of the most profound things that I experienced in childhood was me fell in the fourth grade. I fell the fourth grade because I could not, for the life of me, understand multiplication. I can do division, I can do all addition, subtraction, but multiplication I could not do, and I just couldn't grasp it. And I end up staying back in the fourth grade, and my peers end up going on to the fifth grade, and that, you know, took a turn for me, and I just felt like I wasn't smart enough. And you know, my mom couldn't afford me to go to summer school to move on to the fifth grade. So I ended up staying back that year. And it was a difficult time for me as a child during that time.
So just explain fourth grade to me. Is that, so we have high school when, so you go to high school when you're kind of 11 here. So at what age would you have been at fourth grade?
Fourth grade, I probably would have been, 10, 11.
Okay.
And that kind of like elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's called elementary school. So, yeah.
And what do you then go on to from there?
You go on to fifth grade, junior high school, middle school start, I think, in the sixth, seventh grade.
Okay.
To like the eighth grade, and then high school is from ninth grade to 12th grade.
So that's such an important time in your life, isn't it? Of just because you can't do that multiplication. And believe me, I struggled with maths so much throughout my childhood. I absolutely can understand how that felt. I am sitting in the same boat as you on that. That was hard.
Yes.
So to be held back and at the same time being told, I'm guessing at the same time, you're only going to be the same as your mum. How did that impact you?
Me, self-acceptance, right? I was looking for that self-acceptance. I was looking for, all those things to help me find who I was, who I am at the time. And I just felt less than, you know, the self-doubt started creeping in, and just felt horrible on the inside. And I love my mom, you know, my mom, like I said, her self-limiting beliefs and, you know, her setting healthy boundaries, you know, kind of drove her to where she was back then in life. But I felt unworthy and unloved, and right, I didn't know how to love, right? Because I never experienced it. And they say, like, if for a woman, a little girl, the first person she falls in love with is her father, and if she never experienced that, you know, that love from a father, she spent a lifetime trying to figure out what that looks like, what that smells like, you know, how does that feel, right? And if she don't do the work, you know, if I didn't do the work and if I didn't take the time to learn how to love myself, I will be in and out of unhealthy relationships all my adulthood, my later adulthood life.
So you were just saying about you're the first person you're supposed to fall in love with is your father, and if you are struggling to have that relationship, then you don't know what love looks like, you don't know how to get into relationships. And I'm guessing that's any sort of relationship with even friends or teachers. It makes it so difficult, doesn't it?
It does.
How am I supposed to communicate with someone?
To cultivate a relationship or even love. And just, you know, even growing up or actually going into the military was a struggle for me with friends, right? Because my mom grew up, and when I grew up, what my mom taught me was that friends, you don't have any friends, you have cousins, right?
Yeah.
You have cousins, you don't have friends. And if you do have a friend, you need to ask that friend, hey, would you take a bullet for me? So in the military, when I became grown, I adopted that mentality. Right. And I wouldn't let any of my friends get close to me. I'm like, no, we're coworkers, or we're acquaintances, or I never introduced them as friends. And then they pulled me to the side one day. They was like, what is the problem? Yeah. I'm like, what? They're like, we are friends. I'm like, no, you're not. And then we end up breaking down the definition of friend. And then, and I end up telling them, you know, hey, would you take a bullet for me? And they looked at me like, okay, Tamika, it's not that serious. And I'm like, yeah, but it is. Yeah. So I had to check my way of thinking and the whys behind it, right? Mm-hmm. And had to say, okay, it isn't that serious. It is, but it's not. So, yeah, a lot of things that we learn kind of carries over into our adulthood life if we don't take the time to ask the whys behind it.
And that is such a powerful thing to carry alongside you, isn't it? It's almost kind of isolates yourself, I guess, from people, because suddenly you're carrying this huge commitment to them almost. I'm sorry, but if you're going to be my friend, I'm going to have to take a bullet for you. And I'm not quite sure where we're going with this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And same with, you know, growing up, and my mom went through segregation, racism, and all that stuff in the South. And, you know, she always told me, go in the classroom, go to the back of the classroom, shut your mouth, you know, learn, you're meant to be seen, not heard. And that was kind of my mentality, right? So most of my life, I went through life not speaking up for myself, just going in the back of the classroom, doing all the things, you know, but just not being seen or heard. And now when it comes to public speaking, I struggle with it because I've always took a back seat, a back role to any type of attention or anything like that. So yeah, you have to unravel the whys and unravel these self-limiting beliefs and these things that we are taught.
Mm, absolutely. Completely agree. Because those are our parents' values and our parents' beliefs, not ours. And suddenly we are becoming them. And as you say, time changes. We don't have to live by our parents' rules, do we? Otherwise, I'd be 53 and still doing what my mum says.
Mm-hmm. And she did that to protect me, of course. You know, she had good intentions, right?
Absolutely,
don't cause any problems, you know. You know, that was the thing back then with them growing up, you know.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And as you say, it's a generational thing. And with what your mum you know, witnessed going through racism and segregation, that must have been absolutely awful.
Yes.
So you're not going to want to bring any attention to yourself, are you?
Right.
Because you know exactly what's going to be coming your way if you do.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely awful. So how old were you when you then started to, so you said you were in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So how old were you then when you started to question those beliefs and thoughts, as you said, when your friend said, it's not that bad?
So in my mid-20s is when I started to question things. But here recently is when I took the self-love healing journey. Here recently, the last couple of years, once I retired, from the military is when I finally said, you know, said, okay. And it's funny because, you know, I was in the military 23 years before then. I was a young adult trying to figure out life. So then after the military, it was like, oh, holy shit. Who am I? Who am I? Who is Tamika? Right? So I couldn't identify who Tamika was because 23 years I was programmed in the military, eat, breathe, sleep, the mission, right? Yeah. And before the military, I was a young girl who was lost, you know, working at Krispy Kreme at night and working at a clothing store during the day, trying to figure out life, right?
Yeah.
Who dropped out of college because, you know, I couldn't pay, no longer pay the tuition and just wasn't working out. So So here recently is when, like I said, I took that dive to figure out who Tamika was.
Yeah. I honestly feel like listening to what you're talking about, my background was in the police and I spent just short of 21 years in the police and I was medically retired. And as you say, when I left, I think I even said, now I've got to get a proper job. And because I didn't know who I was, and it was such a huge thing to suddenly, as you said, you leave the army and it's like, who's Tamika? Who are we? Because we've become somebody that they've wanted us to be. So we have to challenge it.
Yes.
So what motivated you to join the military then? And how did that experience shape your sense of discipline and perseverance?
So what motivated me, I knew I wanted more for my life. I wanted more. Like I said, my mom was on drugs during that time and I was working at Krispy Kreme at night and working at a clothing store. And I just knew it was more for me in life. And even joining the military, I had hurdles. I had challenges because when I went to go sign up and do the physical, they was like, oh, if you even fart, baby, you are overweight. So I had to go back and, you know, figure out how to eat healthier because I was overweight for the military. So within a couple of months, you know, I lost the weight, resilient, right? Because I knew what I wanted and I know I didn't want to live a life that I was living, you know.
Yeah.
And I lost the weight and I joined the Air Force. And there was challenges in the Air Force as well, but that I wouldn't have had it any other way. That was my saving grace at the time. And I am the first of my generation, or all the generations, I'm the first to go into the Air Force in my family to serve as a commissioned officer. So, yeah.
Well done.
Yes. Proud of that.
Absolutely fantastic. So tell us some of those challenges then, because I think when we spoke earlier, when you joined the military, did you go into clerical side and then you went into nursing and you came over to the UK?
Yes.
Some big changes.
Yeah, for me, I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grow up, right? So I came in as logistics, aircraft logistics, and I cross-trained into human resources, which is personnel. Yeah. Got bored with that and crossed over and became a nurse. So all things service, right? That's the core of Tamika's service, right? Hence why I joined the Air Force, hence why I became a nurse, and now I'm doing life coaching, right? Service. That's the core of me is service. But during my time in England, I was stationed in England for some years, and I enjoyed the culture. I enjoyed all things, but I was a new nurse at the time, and I struggled during that time because I didn't have the proper training. And that was one of the darkest moments or darkest times of my Air Force career was during that time. I struggled as a new nurse. I didn't have the proper training. And one thing I didn't know that knew at the time that this too shall pass, right? I knew I was going to move on to the next space. And that kept me, right? That kept me going. But that was one of the darkest times.
you're such a formidable lady to, from hearing what you've been saying, you are almost like a hurdler of, I can just imagine you running down a track and something comes and you hurdle it and you're on to the next and on to the next. How have you kept that spirit? Because that is a spirit. How have you kept, and as you've said, it's always been giving to others. There must have been times when you looked up and thought, you know, come on, give me a break now. Let's have an easy life. How did you keep going?
Yes, I want to say it's just that it's God, of course, the source, universe. It's the God who has kept me on a straight and narrow path. Yeah. But I think just the drive in me that knew that it was always something better. Keep going. It's going to get better. And my favorite scripture is Romans 8:28. And I always say, it's all good. Romans 8:28. The affirmation that I say with that is everything is working in my good, no matter how it looks. Everything is working in my favor, in my good, no matter how it looks. And I keep saying it until I believe it. And once I believe it and feel it, then it becomes my reality. So that helps me a lot. And when I think of the word resilience, Clara, I think of you. I think of me. I think of a rubber band, right? You can stretch us out. Just keep stretching us. And guess what? We're going to pop right back, right? Mm-hmm. And come back and keep pushing towards our mission and vision and our purpose in life.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a few minutes ago about the nursing being really challenging here in England. How did you manage those challenges, both professionally and personally?
I think I know in the U.S., right, with nurses, and I was a new nurse at the time, so I didn't know, you know, I didn't know anything about pretty much nursing and the nursing culture. But in the nursing culture, they say, you know, nurses eat their own, you know, and maybe there's some validity to it. But I had to dig deep, right, and to say, I can do this. I got this. I went through nursing school. I passed the boards. I can do this. So once I started digging in the operating instructions, the Air Force instruction, nursing instructions, looking at how they do things in the clinic and just taking the time to do that and then becoming more confident in who I am as a new nurse, things started to line up. And I no longer let them define me as an incompetent nurse or whatever, however they define me. I no longer accepted that label. Said, no, I am a competent nurse. I passed nursing school. I did all the things. This is me. I'm here, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to train me, I'm going to figure out ways to figure it out. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very brave because that can go two ways, can't it?
Yeah.
Can go where they either back off or they make even more trouble for you.
Yeah. Yes.
So, hats off to you for that bravery. We're going to talk about personal setbacks and loss. And I know when we spoke previously, you mentioned, and I'm going to give a trigger warning to any of our listeners, you mentioned the loss of your baby. How did that, and this is perhaps the most stupidest question I'll have asked ever, how did that impact you and how did you find the strength to heal from that?
Yeah, so I navigated through the grief and, you know, of losing my daughter, my baby at, I was at 19 weeks, 4 days or something like that. And, you know, the viability age in the U.S. is 20 weeks, so they won't even try to save the baby if it's anything under 20 weeks.
Right.
So I blamed everyone. I blamed my OB doc. I blamed the resident. I blamed everyone at the time because I felt you guys didn't see the signs. And, you know, I came to you guys several times and no one checked me out or you said it was a UTI or whatever the case may be. And You didn't do, you know, proper due diligence to save the child. So I went through that stage, but I was able to heal from it and to say everything happens, you know, for a reason, you know, and I just have to push forward and care and hold her memories, you know, in my heart forever. Yeah. But to sit and blame and to continue to blame someone or, you know, a process or the clinic only did a disservice to me. Right. These people are going on with their lives. Right.
Yeah.
I had to figure out ways to get the help, the counseling, the coaching that I need to press on in life and to hold her memories in my heart. But yeah, that was a tough time for me. That was really a tough time. But the takeaway is the power of self-love. Right. The power of self-love and a support system. I had my friends around me who supported me through that. And that was a time where I thought I couldn't conceive during that time. Mm-hmm. But when I lost her, I just lost it, you know, through counseling. And like I said, through counseling and through friends and my faith, I was able to press through it.
And that must have been so difficult. And what I'm thinking of is when I say that, is to have the, and I'm going to use the word bravery again, to almost kind of dig your heels in and say, come on, Tamika, they've got on with their lives.
Yeah.
And by sitting here and blaming everyone, you're not getting on with yours. You are being held, I guess, by yourself.
Hostage, you know, hold on. Hostage. And what was even more not crazy about it, but what was even more, I had to move on and forgive myself and others is because I worked in the clinic. So I worked in the OB clinic. So the doctors I had first, you know, they could see me when they're not seeing patients. So I'm like, how could you have missed this if I work here right beside you and you see me, you know, I'm telling you I'm bleeding or, oh, okay, that's a UTI or, you know, oh, okay, we'll give you that's drink more cranberry juice or whatever the case may be. How did we miss this, right? So I took it more personable, right? Because I worked beside these doctors and residents. It wasn't like I was a patient coming in. No, we worked, you know, I was your nurse. So I had to heal from that and move on.
Were there any learning points from them in that?
I don't know, because like I said, in the military, you do your time and then you move on to another base and you may or you may not see these people ever again, you know. So, and I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because as a medical professional, you always question in yourself. You always, what could I have done differently? How could I have handled the situation better? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And was there a specific shifting point in that process? Or was it just time that allowed you to kind of shift on and move on from being held, from being that hostage?
I think it was time and through life coach, through coaching and therapy. Yes.
Okay. And that took, let's talk then about life coaching and your journey to be a coach. So are you okay?
Yes.
Good. So what inspired you to become a life coach? And have there been any specific parts of life that have made you think, this is what I don't want others to go through, or I can help others by X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, so for me, my transformation, my self-healing, self-love journey took place after the military. I did an internship with this organization called Grace After Fire, and I had an opportunity to meet the CEO of that organization at the time. And Grace After Fire is a nonprofit organization, and they help military veteran women transition out of the military.
Okay.
And I met with her. We met during lunch, and she asked me a very profound question, right? She said, "Who is Tamika?" Right? Uh-huh. And here you go. Once again, I'm like, holy. And I just, tears begin to just well up, and I begin to cry. And she's looking at me, and she's crying. We all crying, like, you know, because we was talking more so about life and where we at in life and things. But she asked that question, and I could not answer it. I could not answer it. So I made it a mission to be able to answer it if anybody asked me. But that's when my journey took place, is after that time period. And I went on to 2 years, 2.5 years, just researching and reading books and life coaching and all the things. And one day I was in my closet and I was searching for a t-shirt. So anybody know me, you know, I am the t-shirt queen, right?
Okay.
Well, I was in my closet searching for something to put on, and the word flawless hit me. And I'm like, flawless? Okay. Then the next day, three words hit me: resilience, confidence, and self-love. So I said, oh my goodness, I can sell t-shirts and tell my story through my t-shirts. And my brand name is Flawless. And those are the three pillars of flawless: a flawless woman, resilience, confidence, and self-love. Because, you know, we think of the word flawless, we always think of something aesthetically beautiful: J-Lo, Beyonce, Celine Dion, somebody aesthetically beautiful. But it's not about that, right? It's about owning who you are, loving who you are, walking in your truth, and being the best version of yourself, right? So the last 2.5 years, it's been Flawless Fashion Co., right? My t-shirts.
Yeah.
But here lately, lo and behold, a couple months ago, the universe, God, source, said, you don't stop there. That's not where I want you. It's coaching. I want you to be able to help other women who's gone through so much, you know, in their life. I want you to talk about your birthmark. You know, how you hid all these years from, and it's a beauty mark, not a birthmark. I want you to talk about that and share it with other women. I want you to put on that bathing suit and feel confident, or that tank top and feel confident, and not hide behind your birthmark, right? Yeah. And that's what I did for years. And for me, it's like, how am I going to tell my daughter to be confident and to love herself and to love her skin and all the things if I don't love who I see in the mirror?
Yeah.
Right? So God brought me right back around to do the very thing that I hate doing, that I love doing: public speaking. I love it. I love it. So yeah, that's where I'm at now, is life coaching. And that's and it's funny because I feel so good about it. You know, when you find your purpose and your passion and you just radiate, you get chills every time you talk about it. This is it, Claire. This is it. And wherever
I can see it coming from you. I can absolutely see it coming from you. Yeah. Just like so lit up, so bouncy.
So yes.
Tell me about a particular powerful moment when you've been coaching someone, that when you've realized that you've made that impact on them, or maybe not even on them, on their families.
So one particular moment, it was a person that I knew, and just coaching her. She was having problems and with her life and the way she did things all the years, and just trying to reprogram some of the things in her life. And she was able to be able to set boundaries, which she said she's never set before. So healthy boundaries. She was able to say no to some things, right? And she said she was a people pleaser, right? So I'm like, and I kind of saw myself in her, because I used to, not so much a people pleaser, but I was so darn indecisive. I couldn't make a decision. Like, I'm like, why am I like that? You know? Mm-hmm. And then when I begin to hit contrast, or when I go through any type of negativity, I sit still with God, and I go through the why. Two questions I ask myself: why am I going through this? And what is the lesson I'm supposed to learn in this, right?
Yeah.
And I get the answer every time. I get it every time. So
I think that's fantastic. It's a self-coaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
And So since you've become a life coach, have you noticed how that affects you? Because I personally know that I am so much more relaxed, so much more laid back. I take things slower, so I don't react and rush into things anymore. There's a definite, like you say, I question myself. I don't have specific questions, but I question, and then I've generally then will have completely slowed down and be going off in a different direction.
Yes, Claire. It's that self-awareness, Claire. That's what that is. You more aware with yourself and how, you know, in tune with who you are and what triggers you. You know the triggers. You know all these things. So you're able to act different, right? Or react different.
It's so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. It's liberating.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Boundaries has been my word for 2024, actually.
Nice. Boundaries, healthy boundaries. We have to set them.
So what advice would you give for someone who is looking to become a life coach and they have a history of trauma or setbacks?
I would give that person is just remember, life doesn't happen to you. It happened for you. So embrace the good, bad, and the ugly, right? And own it and make it your own, right? And then every day speak gratitude, right? Because the more gratitude that you put out, the more you get, right?
Yeah.
It's that energy, right?
Absolutely.
So gratitude and happiness and grateful and all the things. But yeah, just know that life don't happen to you, it happened for you.
There's reasons, isn't there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So looking back on your journey then, from childhood struggles to where you are now, what do you think has been the most significant factor in your growth?
Significant in my growth? For me, to be honest, I know it's embracing my authentic self. And it's my birthmark. I struggled with that for years and I've grown so much. I even put a post out this morning with me and my sports bra on. And I would never have done that. Never.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's loving every ounce of me, you know, and embracing it and saying, okay, I'm perfectly imperfected. This is me.
Absolutely.
And who's to say I'm imperfect? What is imperfect?
Absolutely.
Who are you to tell me I'm imperfect? Who am I to tell you you're imperfect? We all perfect in God's eye, right?
Absolutely.
So just embracing it and loving who I am and who I'm becoming, right? And every morning I wake up, I'm like, who am I becoming? You know, we have to say that. Who do I want to become, right? And work towards that. You know, I want to become an empowered, renowned life coach, a public speaker, someone who can help women, empower women to get, you know, through whatever they're going through so they can live the abundant life that they desire and deserve.
Yeah. And as you said, it's so empowering to take hold of that perfectly imperfect you, as you say, whatever that is, and say to the world, this is me. Have it, because this is me.
Yes.
I love that because no one can take that away. Absolutely.
Yes, and we only have, this is my DNA. Claire, you have your own DNA, right? Nobody could be me. Nobody can be you. And that's what makes us special and unique. We have
Absolutely.
One fingerprint, right? So, yes.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So what's next for you then on your personal and professional journey?
So continue to coach one-on-one sessions and also group coaching programs I have on my website as well. So, and two, I do want to write another book. I do have a book out. It's called Riding the Ways to Self-Confidence. And it just basically talk about life, right? Because life equates to waves, it's roller coasters. You go up and you go down. So just taking that journey and overcoming, you know, whatever obstacles that you have. So that's on Amazon as well.
I was just about to ask you, where's that?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
So if people want to work with you, how can they get hold of you? What's your website?
My website is www.flawless, lifecoaching.com. Mm-hmm. And you can go and book a discovery call with me, or you can sign up for any of my programs.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Is there any piece of advice or any last little thing you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That's it. Just love yourself, you know, and self-love doesn't look like going to buy Gucci shoes or if that's what you choose to do, or, you know, Louis Vuitton bag, but doing the inner work, right? And loving who you are to the core, and being intentional, and being clear about who you are and what you want in life.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I've absolutely loved this chat with you today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, Claire. Thank you. It's been amazing.
You're more than welcome. Yeah. I will pop all of the links for you in the chat for our listeners to get hold of you. But for now, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy listening to the episode and learn some tips on how to manage your emotions in a healthy way. If you've been affected by anything in the podcast, or if you want to share your feedback or questions, please email claire@angermanagementcoach.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and do remember, you have the power to calm your emotions and communicate effectively.